The Hawaii Sports Radio Network on 95.1 FM and AM 760 presents Wake Up in the Den with Kuʻule Ogbayani.
Good morning, beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. I'm Kuʻule Ogbayani. Paul Brecht will be here shortly. He was having some transportation problems this morning, but Paul Brecht will be here soon. All right, lots to get into today. I hope everyone's having a fabulous Manawahine Wednesday, as we do every week. Coming up for Manawahine Wednesday, I actually wanted to feature Rainbow Wahine basketball player Olivia Davies. We haven't really talked too much about her story. The week kind of got passed by me and they have to be on their road trip, so it didn't really get a chance to schedule an interview with her. Hopefully we can have a sit down after the season is over, which hopefully is a long, long time from now. But aside from like her injuries that she struggled through being here in Hawaii, even just getting here was an actual interesting story. You know, originally from Alaska, had a lot of scholarship opportunities out, you know, coming out of high school and whatnot, but she could have ended up somewhere else had something not happened. So she was actually in a podcast with Talia Edmonds, who is on the Rainbow Wahine volleyball team. They have a podcast on YouTube. So I found this little clip. So you guys will get to hear a little bit about Olivia Davies and her story of becoming a Rainbow Wahine and everything, as we are still gearing up for the end of the basketball regular season, and the postseason begins next week. We will also talk some men's basketball, as there is a game tonight. Yes, everyone. I know it seems kind of weird because we're not used to, you know, game time or games being on Wednesdays. They're usually on Thursdays and Saturdays, but the men's basketball game against CSUN is tonight. So we'll tell you about everything you need to know coming up on the show, including the auction that we've been talking about. So there was the auction for the Rainbow Wahine basketball game, and they're auctioning off jerseys. Tonight, the men's basketball team will don the Island Heritage jerseys in their game against CSUN at the Simplify Arena at Stan Sheriff Center. And the auction will start today at 6 o'clock p.m. So you can bid on those jerseys. Of course, they're going to be washed before they're delivered to you, but you can bid on the player jerseys as well as shorts and some other really cool things. If you guys participated in the women's one, it's going to be very, very similar as to what other items are available. So again, today, 6 o'clock p.m., and we've shared the links on our social media, but we will do so again. All right, so we'll talk more basketball coming up in the show. But first, I want to get into this interesting article that got posted this morning via the Star Advertiser, written by Andrew Gomes. You heard Chaz Ontai say during the, I guess, his sports report or news report to start off the top of this hour. But it's getting interesting, you guys. So, and I think it was Friday. So I saw the news initially on Friday about the Aloha Stadium situation, but now it has since passed the House of Representatives. So yesterday, the House of Representatives passed a bill to scuttle the redevelopment project in favor of building a less costly stadium on the University of Hawaii at Mauna campus. Under Bill 2664, $400 million in previously approved taxpayer funding to redevelop Aloha Stadium in Halawa through a public-private partnership under a pending solicitation for competitive bids would be canceled. That's right. All that would be scrapped, and $211 million would instead be appropriated for the University of Hawaii to build a new stadium on its flagship campus. State administrators involved in the Aloha Stadium project oppose the bill, as does the university's chief financial officer. Still, a majority of House members decided to pass the bill Tuesday on a 35-14 vote that will send the measure to the Senate for consideration. Four of the favorable votes were made with reservations, and two House members were excused. Representative Andrew Garrett, Democrat of Manoa, the bill's lead introducer, said Tuesday in a floor speech that his motivation is partly to reclaim previously appropriated funding to help pay for much higher than expected Maui wildfire recovery costs, and partly to give the university in his district assurance that it will have a stadium for football games, saying, quote, Everything must be on the table as we decide how to salvage our financial plan for this supplemental year. In this type of fiscal emergency, there can be no sacred cows, he told his colleagues. So it's a lot. Again, this is via the Star Advertiser. You guys can go to staradvertiser.com. I think it might be behind a paywall. However, if you guys are on Twitter, sorry, this is just a sidebar. If you guys are on Twitter or X or whatever, I've noticed that articles, I hope they don't find a way to close this loophole, but, and it doesn't work every time, but it works a few times. So if you guys are on Twitter and you click on the Star Advertiser link from Twitter, so if they share something in their feed and it's a link to a story and you click on that link, it doesn't have the paywall. It's crazy because I had clicked on it this morning through my Twitter, didn't have a paywall. And then I tried to open it on our web browser here in the studio. And then it had the paywall thing because I don't subscribe to the Star Advertiser. That's a story of another day. But yeah, other than that, I think it is behind a paywall. And I'm not sure if it's in the printed version. So we are reading it off of the digital version on staradvertiser.com. So critics of obviously the latest proposal said enacting the bill would waste years of work and about $25 million already spent on the redevelopment plan. $25 million wasted on the redevelopment plan, maybe like $20 million wasted, while impairing envisioned development of a new community on the 98-acre Halava site featuring several thousand homes, retail restaurants, a hotel, and other commercial uses next to a city rail station anchored by a new roughly 30,000-seat stadium. Keith Regan, director of the State Department of Accounting and General Services, warned that enacting the bill could expose the state to claims from development and finance entities who have devoted resources to the project's procurement, while also damaging the state's ability to replace the decaying 50,000-seat stadium in Halava, whose stands were condemned in 2020. That's a very real point, you guys. Like, these other firms that have been putting their own resources into their own proposals and wanting to have this project, who knows what they're going to do if this all gets scrapped. And essentially, they wasted time, effort, money into what they wanted to do and present to the state to be chosen, essentially, and if they're going to scrap all of it entirely. The Stadium Authority and the State Department of Business, Economic Development, and Tourism also opposed the bill. Ryan Andrews, stadium manager, questioned the feasibility of trying to develop a mixed-use community on the stadium site in Halava without a new stadium there, which is very, very true. He said in a written testimony, quote, "The combination of the new stadium as an anchor asset along with a vital mixed-use district is the optimal leveraging tool for economic and community revitalization to provide the most benefit to the people of Hawaii." There's questions have also been raised over whether UH Manoa, which converted the practice field on campus to its temporary game venue with seating for 15,000 fans, can accommodate a bigger and better stadium for its own use and perhaps other uses. There's a few more things that I want to read from this article before I get to kind of my opinion about this whole thing. Calbert Young, UH chief financial officer, said the university prefers the plan to build a new stadium in Halava that is supposed to be ready in 2028 for uses that include UH football, high school football, and graduations, professional sports such as soccer, swap meets, of course, concerts, and other events. He told House Finance Committee during a February 21st hearing, quote, "We don't want the money and we don't want the stadium. Stadiums are very expensive to maintain and the revenue streams are very difficult. Taking that on for the University of Hawaii is not our dream." And the interesting fact, too, is that Manoa was considered as the site for a new stadium in a 2019 assessment of 18 potential locations that included Ala Park, Sand Island, Coco Head Crater, and Waipio Peninsula. Out of six sites that scored the best on factors that included cost, infrastructure, economic benefit, environmental impact, community acceptance, and political viability, UH Manoa ranked fifth with a score of 55 out of 100. So they weren't even the best option outside of Halava, and yet they're just saying, hey, you guys can take this now. Halava was first with a score of 87. No surprise there. followed by UH West Oahu at 69 and the Alawai Golf Course at 63. Kapi'olani Park scored 56, just above UH Manoa, and Kalaeloa scored 49. Money to redevelop Aloha Stadium at Halawa was first appropriated in 2019, and a facility to be built by a private developer and operated by the state was initially forecast to be finished in 2023, followed by community development on the site that would generate revenue for the state. Obviously, we've seen multiple setbacks arise, including funding changes made by the legislature, of course, a push by prior Governor David Ige to have the state build a stadium under a low-bid contract, and most recently, as we've seen, a move by now Governor Josh Green to have a private partner build, operate, and maintain a new stadium, which, of all things, kind of seemed like the best plan that we could have hoped for. In my opinion, I feel like if you bring in the private money, they're going to want to make sure it gets built. They want to make their money back as quick as possible. And you ultimately put them in charge of this so that the state, who has no idea how to make money and generate revenue the way that the private sector can, doesn't essentially have to worry about all that stuff. And there's a reason why we're going to push it off to a private entity. A request for proposals was issued in December, and interested development teams that met a February 14th deadline are having their qualifications assessed by an evaluation committee. Garrett and two other House members introduced HB 2664 in January. The original draft proposed appropriating $370 million in general obligation bonds for a Manoa Stadium, or $30 million less than the mix of bonds and cash appropriated for redevelopment of Aloha Stadium at Halawa. Whew, it's a lot to dissect, you guys. Again, you can read the full thing at thestaradvertiser.com if you subscribe. After the Finance Committee hearing, the bond appropriation for a Manoa Stadium was reduced to $211 million at the suggestion of Representative Kyle Yamashita, chair of the committee. He suggested that part of the existing $400 million appropriation might be needed for other state spending needs, which could include covering Maui wildfire recovery expenses. Of the $400 million, $49.5 million is cash from general funds, and the balance is general obligation bonds representing debt. Whew. Okay, it's a lot. I know. And I read it for the first time this morning, and I'm kind of still taking it all in. So this is the line that got me. And again, this Star Advertiser written by Andrew Gomes is, Kyle Yamashita, representative, representing Pukalani, Makawao, and Ulupalakua. I don't like the line that says, which could include covering Maui wildfire recovery expenses. There's a difference between could and will, because we all know that, all the families and everybody on Maui, especially in Lahaina, we're just even scratching the surface of the recovery and everything that they're going through over there. So it's not to say that the money won't be spent on a just cause. It's just the planning. Like, I don't understand what is going on with the decision makers, where you can at least, there's a bunch of you guys, you can get into a room and come up with things that are a lot more creative instead of, hey, look, we already allocated this money for the stadium and now we're just going to push it to something else, which could include Maui Wild, not will, but it could include Maui wildfire recovery expenses. So not only, like how they mentioned in the article, people that object the bill said that's going to be $25 million plus wasted on the whole planning process for the Aloha Stadium. Everything's going to go out the door. The University of Hawaii at Manoa doesn't even want it, because they understand, just like I said not too long ago, they understand how difficult it is to maintain a stadium, especially to one that they are supposedly supposed to build for $211 million. And $211 million in that small footprint of where the stadium is right now at UH Manoa, it's not big enough to build a facility that the program, that the fans deserve, because you're going to have to start demolishing things around the current footprint of the stadium to build one that feels worthy of a Division I football program who I 100% feel like is on the way up, and we're going to start to turn the corner this year. So in a couple of years, when Timmy Chang has completely turned around this program and we're winning and we're packing the place, you're telling me people still, and that's going to take a while to build out. They're still going to have to, you know, go to the stadium past 2028 when Kansas comes in. And imagine if Hawaii's good and Kansas is good and we're going to have another Oregon situation where we're going to need to punt that big game down the line because we're still possibly waiting for another stadium. It just doesn't make any sense to me. And it's so irritating that this is your job. This is what you do every day. You represent the taxpayers. Like, you're a public servant. Can you guys get into a room and come up with something more creative to raise funds? You guys hear me say it on the show all the time. Like, how about we, you know, let Utah be the only state that doesn't have any form of gambling? Like, I don't understand. You know, some kind of lottery, pool tab games. We saw the state of Minnesota pay for that Vikings USA Bank Stadium from pool tab games. Like, they paid off the debt for it to build that stadium. There's so many different ways. And don't get me wrong, I know there's probably some people listening that do oppose any type of gambling still being legal here in Hawaii. You're entitled to your opinion. That's fine. But my point is that do they not work like 8 hours a day? And maybe, I mean, if I work in sports and my brain is constantly thinking how I push this station forward and how we can do things better. Like, my day does not end after 8 hours, even if we're not covering a game. Like, I'm constantly thinking and game planning and texting, you know, Paul and Michael about, hey, I have this idea. Like, I don't understand why. And when you say that when there's no proof of what the funds will be allocated for, it's just, it could be for Maui wildfire relief. And then other than that, where's all the millions of dollars that were raised? Where's the federal government? I mean, they just use and abuse Hawaii that, you know, hey, we don't need to help you guys out as much as you need to be because, we're going to spend money on other things. You're there for your military bases. There's so many things wrong with this picture, you guys, and I can't believe this is how I'm starting the morning. It's top of mind. It's important to share with all of you. Again, the article staradvertiser.com really lays it out. But Tuesday, I saw it on Hawaii News Now on Friday, but I didn't think that it would get this far. Again, if you kind of missed the beginning, the House Bill 2664 would the $400 million in previously approved taxpayer funding to redevelop Aloha Stadium in Halawa through a public-private partnership under a pending solicitation for competitive bids would be canceled, and $211 million would instead be appropriated for UH to build a new stadium on its flagship campus. So the bill passed the House in a vote of 35-14, and now it moves to the Senate for consideration. Excuse me, Senate, please do the right thing. And like I said, it's not that I don't want Maui to get all the help that they need. I just don't like to read a line where it said it could go to Maui recovery efforts, and there's no plan of how that money will be allocated to help Maui, and you're just going to waste more of the taxpayer dollars planning on how to use the money, just like how they did with Aloha Stadium. And then we're going to lose out on $25 million. Private entities that already spent all their time trying to bid for this thing or submit their proposals and whatnot, it's just a waste. Can we do better, people? This is what we elected you for. Figure it out. Whew. All right, on that note, got to step aside. We'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Stop playing with them, Riot.
Back to more Wake Up in the Den with Kukule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760. All of the Barbies is pretty. All of the Barbies is
bad. It girls, and we ain't playing tag. Welcome back to Wake Up in the Den. Kukule Agbayani and Paul Brex now in studio. Oof. He made it! I'm trying to calm down a little bit. In case you guys didn't catch my rant to end the first segment. We got to switch topics for a little while because this is just, it's just getting ridiculous at this point. Anywho, all right, so men's basketball game tonight.
I got a Bleacher Report, what was it called, widget about the game talking about their fun uniforms for tonight and all of that. And I don't even like, I don't have Hawaii as one of the teams to get notifications about because I'm the one that puts out notifications about them a lot of times. So I thought that was pretty cool to see, getting a little national notoriety.
Yes, and what I told you guys in the beginning of the show, you will be able to bid on those uniforms and the jerseys. The jerseys and the shorts are separate, so you can bid on each or both or one. But taking on CSUN tonight in very important games coming up this week to close out the regular season. In their first meeting, Hawaii lost on the road, of course, 76-66. So looking for that redemption, as we talked about before, they are coming off of a road trip in which they split, lost at UC Davis, but beat UC Riverside. Now must win games down the stretch, trying to close out the season and get that fourth seed. In turn, we'll get them the first round bye in the Big West Conference tournament next week. Now, taking a look at what happened last time they played each other, Jovan McClanahan led the Rainbow Warriors in scoring with 23. He looks to be all but, I guess, recovered is the term, but looks like he's at full strength nowadays.
He's
now that we've
a lot
seen
better.
So that's good to have him back. Allen Elkins, Deshaun Allen Elkins. I'm like reading it the wrong way. Deshaun Allen Elkins is the player that scored 20 on Hawaii in their first meeting. Gianni Hunt was second for CSUN with 16. Either way, must win. But before we kind of, oh my gosh, I did rant for a long time. Sorry, you guys. I was like, it's already 8:28. My goodness, where did the time go?
Time flies when you're
all right. Before we talk about more of the game, though, and we'll probably have to go to break after it plays. But here is just a snippet of what head coach Aron Ganot had to say about CSUN and, of course, some of their seniors.
You know, I think we're in a better place than we were at that time, and you know, they're coming in as a team that's obviously been really good on the road. They've won several last road games, and you know, hopefully for the game plan is, or the plan is to, you know, us first, you know, get better in a quick turnaround. This is one of our quickest turnarounds in league in terms of home or away. And get ready for a dynamic Northridge team that's having a great season. They're electric in transition. They get to the free throw line. They're really good on the offensive boards. They have great guard play, experienced guard play. And, you know, obviously Allen Elkins is having an all-conference year as well. So we need to continue to improve, be consistent. You know, taking away easy baskets is going to be a big part of it. But, you know, I think it's interesting that we've had these second time opportunities with opponents in conference, and they've been quicker turnarounds than this one. I mean, both Northridge and Bakersfield were really early in the conference season. So both teams are a little different, obviously. Both teams can be impactful. So they set you up for, you know, two competitive games for sure.
Noel talked about just the task at hand to still competing for that fourth spot, the top four, but knowing that it's also senior weekend for a lot of these guys, just how do you kind of keep those guys, you know, keep the emotions in check and know that what's at hand?
Well, it's like the noise, the good and the bad. You got to focus on the task at hand. We're human, and then you just got to get back to work. It's served us well to this point. Just like when you're handling, you know, obviously we had a stretch recently, handling failure, get back to work, handling success, get back to work, stay together, and obviously the added, and I think that will serve us well during the stretch. We've had to deal with that. And senior night is always emotional, senior week, but we've always tried to get ahead of it. You know, it's kind of like senior year, like we honor our seniors every day with the effort we show and how we play together, and you know, it just goes up a notch for senior week. So, and all the emotions that we've done over the years, we've tried to, internally, we talk about it earlier in the week instead of later, get ahead of everything. So when the games are played, we can just focus on the task at hand. It served us well. It'll continue to serve us well. But let's not kid ourselves that this will be emotional when you talk about seniors anywhere, especially this group of six seniors. You got three guys, you know, well, two and Javon and Noel have been here 4 years. Bernardo's been here 5 years. Three of those guys have been here, like I said, at least 4 years. How often does that happen in the country in this day and age? That's pretty special for this, our great fans to be able to witness their development. And you add Juan Munoz, who has been here 3 years, obviously his first year playing, but I think you could argue the greatest story in college basketball this year. I don't know how often you'll see a guy come back from four season-ending surgeries, be in his eighth year, and every time he's had a setback, it's been like early in his road to recovery, come right back. And so sometimes you'll see those kind of guys have a, you know, play a little bit or get a minute here and there. I mean, he's been an impactful player especially during the stretch. It's really impressive. And then you've got, you know, two guys in their first year, two grad transfers, great guys. You know, Justin McCoy, really impactful on the floor and all conference level. Matthew Cotton's given us a lift, and he provides leadership. So those are six seniors who've, and there's a reason why we've been able to navigate some tough times.
Kind of a lighter one. Noel was out here earlier. He was wearing the new Island Heritage uniforms. Just kind of your thoughts on this one and just talking about switching it up this weekend with Senior Weekend.
Well, I think we've tried to, you know, mix up theme nights, and everything we do is always about honoring the past and honoring Hawaii and honoring each other and making things special. And, you know, I remember we brought back our retro uniforms or brought it for the first time. This was maybe, three or four years ago and started making that an annual tradition. I mean, my phone's been buzzing about those retro uniforms, and now we're bringing, you know, these Island Heritage uniforms that are pretty sweet, pretty cool, incredible. And again, you're feeling the buzz. And there's a lot of people who appreciate that. And so that's what you're doing. When you can play this great game, or like I always say, do what you love, where you love, with people you love, and honor those, it's a pretty cool thing. And when they look as good as they do, it's even better.
We talked about last week of how unique it is that you're going to actually be playing ending your season at home. How's it feeling this year, week now that Apple is here?
Well, I was saying it earlier, like, I don't know when the last time, well, obviously we've never finished in 9 years here, we've never finished conference play at home, and it's March. So I'm like, I wonder if we've ever played in the stand in March. I don't know if we have, but college basketball, March Madness, the Simplify Arena at the Stan Sheriff Center, incredible fans, great senior week, a great senior class, games that mean a lot. It's, you know, it's a perfect storm in creating some special opportunities and challenges, and one we're not going to take lightly. But, you know, we're looking forward to it, and I know they're doing a lot. Our administration's done a great job, and promotions, and kid-friendly, and you know, you could see the crowds growing every game, and now we got only two more. So, you know, we hope it's a great turnout. We need it. Our guys deserve it, and I know we appreciate it.
And that was University of Hawaii men's basketball head coach Ron Gannat just talking a little bit about this upcoming matchup this evening against CSUN. And, of course, the Island Heritage jerseys that will be worn. Again, the auction starts at 6 o'clock p.m. today and will end on Saturday at 10:30 p.m. So be sure to go out and get the auction items. Also, very, very important, as he mentioned, it is kid-friendly, meaning it's going to be just like the University of Hawaii women's games. So today and Saturday, keiki, high school and younger, are free. So that is very, very rare. So high school and younger are free these next couple of games. So go out and pack the Simplify Arena at Stan Sheriff Center. Tonight, they're going to be, for the Pink Night, they'll be throwing out shirts with the featuring the seniors on them, pink shirts courtesy of Hawaii Pacific Health. And then on Saturday, there will be the first 2,000 fans will get the pretty cool white shirts, the senior t-shirt to look forward to. So a lot of stuff going on as they will honor seniors Matthew Cotton, Noel Coleman, Bernardo Da Silva, Jovan McClanahan, Justin McCoy, and Juan Munoz for the second time, which is pretty fun. But definitely Noel and Jovan, who have been here for the entirety somewhat. Noel started somewhere else, but it feels like the entirety of their college career.
Bernardo's been here five years.
Yeah, he's been here for 5 years. So those three seniors definitely gave a lot to the program, as Coach Gannat said, where it's rare in this day and age that they will stay. So again, Island Heritage jerseys tonight. Go to uhevent.com to register for the auction that will begin at 6 o'clock p.m. And basically, if you guys haven't seen it on social media, it's represents how like the jerseys look like the for baseball. It's that Kelly green and orange. It's really, really cool.
They're dope.
Yep. And then so wear pink. It's the pink night for to unify within the fight against breast cancer. HPH, as we mentioned, will hand out 250 pink sanitizer spray bottles, and you can also look for those shirts that'll be thrown out into the crowd. All right, we'll be right back on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuule Agbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Welcome back to all of you, the beautiful list of all the beautiful people. It's Wake Up in the Den. Alongside Paul Brex, I'm Kule Agbayani. Mahalo for tuning in this and every weekday morning on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM, AM 760, and HawaiiSportsRadio.com. Don't forget, you guys can text us. I would love to hear some of the angry comments. 808-888-KGU1. That's 808-888-5481. And by angry comments, in case you guys missed the beginning of the show, which we'll talk about again to close out the show, that the State House basically passed a bill, Bill 2664, to reallocate the $400 million that were in taxpayer funding to develop Aloha Stadium. So that might not happen anymore. It has to go through the Senate. But again, we will bring up that topic again to close everything out because I don't want to forget my Manawahine Wednesday that I was talking about, where I wanted to have you guys hear the story of Rainbow Wahine basketball player Olivia Davies, because it's really interesting. And especially, Paul, you might understand more of it too, because it has to deal with her when you go to like youth basketball camps or tournaments and stuff, and how there's all of these NCAA rules about it. And remember, she's from Alaska. So there's a part in there that will really stand out. This is from a podcast with Talia Edmonds, who is on the Rainbow Wahine volleyball team. You can find the whole thing on YouTube, but here is the part where Olivia Davies talks about why she chose, or she had to come to the University of Hawaii, why they still joke about how she was the worst recruit. The team and her jokes about that she's the worst recruit, and why she has chosen to stay and remain at the University of Hawaii. But here is Olivia Davies and Talia Edmonds.
Yeah. How did you...
Oh, goodness.
And like, yeah, I just feel like it's so random to people.
Yeah, for sure. Mine was a little bit different. So during high school, for Alaska travel basketball, you have to go out the entire month of July, and you're just in, you're in the like summer circuit. You go to like 5 or 6 different cities in the month of July, and like that's, and I did that from like sixth grade until your junior year, because that's the last time you can really get seen.
Yeah.
But so what happened originally is what I came out like sixth grade, and I, in like sixth through eighth grade, like I was really, really good, like especially for my age, for my, like my height, I was super short. And then eighth grade, I grew like 5 inches.
Yo.
Yeah, like on some crazy stuff.
Yeah, I bet your knees was hurting.
I've always had knee problems. Like when I was younger, I always had knee problems. But so like coming out of eighth grade, I had a full ride offer from Washington State.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah, which is always crazy because of,
God.
Right. So I had a couple more offers, all of these things, and I eventually tried to go play EYBL, like on EYBL team in Washington. So if you're going to do something like that, there's a NCAA rule that says that you can go to a different state. You can play basketball in a different state. It just has to be an adjoining state, so they have to be touching. Alaska doesn't.
I'm like,
Alaska doesn't
go to Russia.
Right. I'm a go to Canada, play international basketball.
Yeah.
Like, but so my dad was like, oh, like you're like, you need to go play for this EYBL team. Like, we'll figure it out, blah, 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 all this stuff. And so he ships me off to Washington to play for Tree of Hope. First time away from my family, one of the hardest things that
I've
ever
done. You're how old at this point?
I was like 15.
Oh yeah, that's
yeah. I was like, and I was
crime.
Like, yeah, I was staying. I was staying with like a 60-year-old couple.
Yeah.
Like, and he was the like coordinator for the team.
Okay,
and, like,
yeah.
He was like, yeah, like we'll take her in, blah blah blah. It was weird for me being 15.
Oh yeah.
He was gone at 6 a.m. and got back at 6 p.m. and it was like I'm in complete isolation.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we go through this 3-month period. I'm like in a different realm of basketball that I've never been exposed to. I'm by myself, all kinds of craziness. And then we go to our first tournament at this beginning of July circuit kind of thing. And it's at Boo Williams, which is like one of the best tournaments. Like all the top college coaches are there. He knows. And I'm playing. I get there. Like, first game, everything's cool. Like, whatever. The coach, like, pulls me out, like, to the side, and he's like, you can't play in this tournament.
Oh.
I was like, what? And there was, like, this whole thing. Somebody had emailed the NCAA with background information on me and my parents saying that I should not be allowed to play in any EYBL circuit.
Who did it?
We don't know. They used a fake email. I promise I'm not making this
up. You're 15 years old. Somebody's
playing with me.
Cyberpunking.
Like, yes. Like, ruin, like, because
that's
then,
crazy.
So what happened essentially was that, like, I went there, I played in the tournament, and it was like Oregon State was calling me, like all these coaches were calling me. And then I didn't play the rest of the circuit, like, for the summer, because I couldn't play.
That's insane.
Because I would have had to claim residency and, like, do all this stuff, like, legally to prove that I was there. And it was like, there's not enough time to even do that by the time I get this all figured out. The window's closed.
Yeah.
So I ended up going home. I didn't travel at all that year. I lost pretty much every one of my, like, offers.
God, somebody snaked you.
Oh, yeah. Used a Hotmail email. Yeah, like, on something, like, stupid. And, like, had, like, my parents' full names. Like, they had to have known us.
That's actually crazy.
And, like, sent it in.
You think it was somebody on your team?
Unlike my old team, I really do. Yeah. Like, I really do think it. I would say you ruined my life, but I'm happy, so.
Okay, yeah. Let's get to the happy part.
Yeah. I had to do a lot of, like, my own, like, providing and stuff. And I had a, what's it called? I had a college fund that I pulled out. And I pulled it out, and I paid for my last, like, travel season with this college fund.
Dang.
And so, like, I, like, put everything on the table and was like, this is what's happening. But... So from that, whatever happened, I paid for, like, traveling out. And then that was when I first, like, really talked to Hawaii and, like, really was in contact. And it was so bad. They actually make fun of me for it. I was the worst recruit. Like, I didn't pick up the phone. They had to, like, call my dad to, like, then call me and, like, all that stuff. Because I was just so over the process. I've been doing it for so long. And they would always like, yeah, we didn't think you were going to come here the way you're acting. They were like, you also didn't have any type of, like, personality when you played, because it was always, like, super level. Like, you didn't, like, get super, like, expressive. Yeah. So they were like, this kid must be weird. And then I came on my visit with, like, rainbow Crocs. I had all kinds of piercings and stuff.
The tattoo.
Like, yeah, and they were like, oh, yeah, tattoo. Like, she's fun. But, that's kind of how I ended up here. But, no, I think it all happened for a reason, and I'm so grateful. I think about it all the time. Like, basketball-wise, I could have played anywhere that I wanted to. But I wouldn't want to play anywhere else, just because they've, like, helped me grow in so many different ways that I know other colleges would not have, like, prioritized.
Yeah.
And, like, they've just helped me through so much that I can't even, like, fathom going somewhere else and, like, going through that process. Like, I would be a completely different person.
You've been here in the same place for 5 years, and you're going to be going on your sixth just as a student, like, when you graduate from the program and stuff like that. So I think, like, I don't know, what about this place do you think has made you stay for this long?
Yeah, no, for sure. I think it's definitely just the environment. And I don't owe Coach B anything, but she's helped me in a lot of ways that have just impacted how I look at life and how I, like, interact with things and all this stuff. And I choose to stay because of, like, the coaching staff. Like, the way that I, like, have relationships with the coaching staff, like, I know that I'm not going to get that anywhere else.
Yeah.
They're not going to prioritize me in any other way anywhere else. And it makes sense. It's like, don't fix something that isn't broken. Like, why would I go try to, grass is greener on the other side? Like, it's not worth going through that change.
Yeah.
To then realize, oh, I made a mistake.
Yep.
And then not know what to do after that, you know?
Yeah.
And that was Rainbow Wahine basketball guard Olivia Davies on the podcast hosted by Rainbow Wahine volleyball defensive specialist Talia Edmonds on YouTube. But yeah, I mean, what a fascinating story. That's why I wanted to feature that segment for our Mana Wahine Wednesday and just Olivia Davies in general. My goodness, like going through all of that and chuckling about how she was the worst recruit because she was just over the entire process. And I would be too. Like,
yeah.
You get these offers and then it gets thrown out the window because somebody wanted to tattle on you and then you're just over it. And, you know, luckily Coach Beeman and the staff stayed on her. She's been a phenomenal addition to this Rainbow Wahine basketball program, but she also struggled with injuries while she was here. And she contemplated even playing this season after her season ending injury last year. She also technically does have another year that she is able to play, but she said like her knees are just, she's done. Like she said if her knees were better, she would definitely play another year. But I mean, shout out to her. Coach Beeman also mentioned before in some of the media scrums how, you know, she's like, you can imagine anyone that age would going through what she has through, had to kind of fight back from mental, like just being in the wrong mental space. So shout out to Olivia for just giving her all this final year. She was honored over on Saturday. And as we always do, shout out Coach Beeman and the staff. I mean, she heard Olivia say, like, she never thought for once leaving the program. If she was going to not come back, like, she would just be done playing basketball. It wasn't about going somewhere else because what Coach B them have done for her and her career and just not, thinking like, oh, I want to go somewhere else because it could be better. And she's stayed here because of the coaching staff. So I just wanted to be able to share all that story with you because, my goodness, I'm surprised we haven't talked about it more. Hopefully, as I told you guys, we can effort an interview with her following the season, which is hopefully a long time from now.
I was going to say, hopefully once they win the national title, we can, during that whole parade run, we can snag her.
We'll get an interview with her in April. There
exactly.
we go.
Exactly. We sleep in May, right? Yeah.
So shout out Mana Wahine Wednesday, Olivia Davies of the Rainbow Wahine basketball program. We'll be right back to close things out on Wake Up in the Den.
Wake Up in the Den with Kuulei Ogbayani on the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760.
Yeah, why are you mad when you can be glad?
Exactly. Positive vibes only.
We can let it playing for a while. There's like the one...
I'll
first,
trust.
That's the good one.
I'm not getting
this one
too far away.
Why, Paul? Shade never made anybody less gay, so
It's an elite line.
It is. That goes to the person that we're making fun of our new friends that I will find one day at the women's basketball game. So you're being too loud.
You better hope that I don't find you.
Yeah.
Like, straight up. Who's nicer than me?
Again. Just because you're insecure about whatever don't mean you need to take it out on other people just trying to have a good time. You tell them, Taylor. Such an elite line.
Elite.
Because if you think about it, I was like, yeah. It's like you punching down on people doesn't make you any better. It makes you like just the worst person ever. Anywho.
You're trying to get me worked up over here.
Oh, no. We're going to be worked up to end the show because we are bringing up what we started the show with in case some of our friends listening now missed it to open up the show. But of course, if you missed my long rant earlier about this, you can listen to this show on demand at HawaiiSportsRadio.com or wherever you get your podcasts. So we opened up the show because there was an article this morning from the Star Advertiser. You can go to StarAdvertiser.com, written by Andrew Gomes. And it was announced last week, Friday. I saw on Hawaii News Now, but this has a full write-up because yesterday a majority of House members decided to pass Bill 2664 by a vote of 35-14, which will send the measure to the Senate for consideration. So House Bill 2664 under it $400 million in previously approved taxpayer funding to redevelop Aloha Stadium in Halawa through a public-private partnership under a pending solicitation for competitive bids would be canceled. So all of that money that was spent, everything is done, down the drain, $25 million of every, which again, probably 20 million of the 25 was wasted anyways, but nonetheless, it would be canceled. $211 million would instead be appropriated for UH Manoa to build a new stadium or build, extend what is currently there on its flagship campus. Main takeaways is there is no plan of where that money would go necessarily. It says it could go to Maui recovery efforts. And even if it all went to Maui recovery efforts, which we know that that's what they need, they still continue to need help. We're just beginning the recovery process. But it rubs me the wrong way when I don't see a plan of how that money will directly help the Maui recovery effort. So there's no, you want to switch directions from giving the people the stadium in Halawa, but you want to divert this money to something that you don't have a plan for already in line. Like if they were like, hey, this is the plan, this is how we're going to help Maui, this is where all the money's going.
It's a half-baked thought.
Exactly.
That's what it is.
And like, it's just a thought. Hey, it comes from a good place, but at the same time, it's not, there's nothing, this is taxpayer money, this is our money. And it's just, this is what we kind of want to do. We want to waste it and then put it over here and you guys just have to be fine with it. And just like UH, the financial person for UH said, we don't want that money. We don't want to manage the stadium. So the legislature is essentially forcing UH to do this, put it on their campus. But they're smart enough to realize we don't want it. It takes a lot to maintain a big stadium. It takes a lot to do this. We don't want to do it. Don't do this to us. But they're like, no, this is what we're deciding.
With respect, there should very rarely be government people sticking their nose in stuff like this. And like you said, it comes from a good place because I totally understand wanting to take a large part of the funds and try and help the rebuild of Maui. That is the most important mm-hmm. thing right now. That is not the issue that we take with this. It is that it almost feels like pandering in a way yeah. where it's like, oh, we're going to take some of this money, you know, that you clearly don't need for this stadium, and we're gonna give it to Maui. We will. Yeah. We don't know what we're gonna do with it, but we'll give it to Maui. Trust us. Yeah. You know, and here's the thing: it's become more and more difficult to trust.
Mm-hmm.
It just is, because when you don't follow through on things, and this Aloha Stadium part where you want to change direction again. It just feels like, you know, the scene from The Office where Michael goes, snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap. That's what it feels like with Aloha Stadium. That's what it feels like with this government. What it feels like with all these representatives, with the Senate, with all of the legislature, where all they do is change their mind every 6 weeks. And they say, tough, deal with it. And that is the most frustrating thing. To be like, you don't have an idea. How yes. are we supposed to trust you when you don't have the idea? So it's just frustrating, man. It really, really is.
It's and you don't know. Now they're going to just stop the process, which they're already supposed to announce things this summer. And the stadium is supposedly supposed to get underway and start being built by the beginning of next year. And now this already puts a halt to everything. And if you're the private company that thinks like, hey, we have a shot to do this, I mentioned it in the to
Why
open
would
the
people
segment.
Want to come help?
Exactly. That's where nobody's going to want to work with the state now, all the private entities, which again, having the private sector involved is good because they care a lot about their money and they don't want to waste money. So they want to get things done. They want to get things built. They want to make money on top of their investment. And it's just... Go to staradvertiser.com and you guys can have your own venting sessions. We'll probably continue to talk about this and see what the Senate does. Kurt Favela, time to do the right thing. Vote against this, but we got to go. For Paul Brecht, I'm Kule Agbayani. Bye!